Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. Amazing stories in this section. I have great emotion when I read the next story after this one. I tried to preach it one time and I almost couldn't. I was just, you know, a lot of emotion and tears about what God did in a certain circumstance. And I'd encourage you to read that, but we're going to start in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 4 and read a little bit. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take him unto him, my two sons, to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Lord, we thank you so much for this word. I ask that you would help us to gather some understanding from this and from the other passages. These people don't need to hear a great sermon. In fact, I looked through the notes and I'm just kind of, oh, this is not great. And I could talk a long time and tell stories. But Lord, what these people need is something that will change them from the inside. Lord, we need you to do the cooking. We need to come here tonight and find bread and fish already on the fire. And I think that's what we find in your word. I ask that you would help us to divide it rightly. In Jesus' name, amen. We just heard the song about God giving his own son. And the statement in there is searing loss. I don't know how many of you have had searing loss, great pain. Some of you have suffered, I know that. But this woman has lost her husband, and evidently at a young age, and he didn't have anything saved up. He was a preacher, and a young one at that, so he didn't have much. And now it looks like she's going to suffer for it. Is God trustable? Really, I think that's what this comes down to, is the power of God and the trust in God. Can we trust him with our lives? But I see some other things happening in here. I think that we can take principles out and apply them. But there is God-ordained loss. Trouble will come. How did Job say it? It's like the sparks flying upward. We will have trouble. Uncertainty and trouble are often gifts from God. He wants us to come to the end of ourselves. He wants us to get to the end of our ability to accomplish something. Boy, we're so good at making things happen and trying really hard. And boy, if we could just do this for God, surely, what are we trying to please him? But sometimes God takes things away to bring new opportunities. And we're going to see that it took away this man of God. It seemed to be doing the work of God. It just doesn't seem right. It seems unfair. We've seen that. We've seen missionaries that have lost their lives, and it just, why? It doesn't make sense to us. We've seen loss of Christians that had influence. Why would God do that? Well, evidently, he has a plan. Evidently, we can trust him. You know, on Monday, something really difficult for us happened. Mom and Dad having to watch a child suffer, and we've been watching Nathaniel go through a lot for several months. And only recently did we even know what was going on. And, you know, the emotion and the drain and this, okay, we trust you, God. We've been with you before through trouble. This is like third grade, fourth grade. You know, we go through trouble again and we go through trouble again and we learn from those things. And every time it's still difficult. But my wife told me something this morning and it brought me to tears. My son went through a 6-hour surgery and he came out of it. And we have some cute videos of him coming out of it. He has a funny voice and he's saying weird things. And but one of the things he said is, "It was successful. All right." You know. And but my wife told me that on the way home, you know, sometimes you don't know what's going on with your kids. You know, you want so much for them. You want them to get it. You want them to serve God. You want them to have a relationship. But my son, just having gone through, and he was really having trouble with going to get the procedure done. And I prayed with him, and we prayed with him. We talked with him and talked about how to think about it. But on the way home, he said, "Mom," I wasn't there. He said, "Mom, we really need to praise God and thank God for what he did. Every little bone is still in there. He could hear." And he wanted her to pray, but she said, "No, you can pray." And he prayed the sweetest prayer. I didn't get to hear it, but God did. And it was praise to the Lord. Sitting in a hospital emergency parking just over 10 years ago, it was a really difficult night, full of questions and doubts and hurt. And my wife was pretty sure she had just miscarried. And we ran to the emergency room in the middle of the night. It was near midnight. And we had a 2-year-old. And it felt like the promise of God was that we had a second child. And I was unsure how to deal with this. It was, you know, I'm stunned. I was awakened out of sleep. We have to rush to the emergency room. And I have to watch my son sleep in the vehicle. And I'm in the parking lot while my wife has to deal with this on her own. And it was a very difficult night. But I felt different about it. I've been through things before that just tore me up. But this was different. It was like something's wrong. This is not right. This isn't supposed to be happening. I feel like we're missing something. And a couple hours later, I got the call from my wife. She said they found a heartbeat. And that was Nathaniel. And if God didn't give him life then, and then give him trouble later that he had to live through and had to learn to trust God in, he wouldn't have been sitting in that car praising God. And I think some of us miss the fact that we too have been saved. We have life because of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been given so much, a great gift from God. Not so you could bottle it up, but so that you could share it. You know what rejoicing is? Rejoicing is loud praise, loud joy. It's loud joy. Joy is knowing that God's in charge. He's always got everything in his hands. But rejoicing is saying out loud, "I know that that's true." God gave you a voice so that you could praise him, so you could share him. And what a great opportunity you have. Just like Nathaniel, you could get bitter and angry and upset at things of life and the difficulties and the pain. Or you could say, "Wait a minute, look at the good things God has done. And he gave you salvation." And that's what I see here in this passage, is a woman who's dealt with great loss. And when she does the right thing, she turns to God and said, "What now?" Then Elisha says, "What do you already have? Consider what you have." Consider the fact that you have salvation. You were saved. If you felt like you deserved it, then maybe you don't have it. If you understand that you didn't deserve it and God was gracious to you, then maybe you understand the goodness of God and the wonder of what you have, and maybe you'll see that it's something worth sharing. And you see that it's oil that this woman has, and she has oil in a pot. And through the Old Testament, you see that oil is often a picture of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and life. And so this woman has one thing. She has a pot with oil in it. And I see it as representing salvation. You know, remember the little boy in Matthew that he was surrounded by thousands of hungry people and he's got a sack lunch. What I would be doing is like hiding over here and eating it. But he was like, no, there's a lot of, he saw differently. He saw a lot of people that needed something and he couldn't share with one person and not just be over. So he gave it to Jesus. He gave what he had to Jesus, and Jesus broke it, blessed it, and sent it out with his apostles into the crowd. You know, bread is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, it's barley bread, I believe, in this case, and it's common. It's there for everyone, and it's available. And so the people, it's a staff of life. And so, by the way, don't mix anything with the bread. You don't change the gospel. You don't add anything to it. You don't subtract anything. But there's one thing that's really awesome here. Salty fish. Ketchup. A little Worcestershire sauce on your bread. The gospel can be served with a little salty fish. Well, in the New Testament, often, the fish were people. Remember in the nets? They're being caught. It's like people being caught with the gospel. And so what I see is a bunch of salty fish, a bunch of Christians, a bunch of believers that are giving some flavor to that bread. It's a thought. So you have a testimony. What do you have? You have salvation. Amen. You have a testimony. Amen. You are the salty fish. Share the bread. Share your testimony. It's something that you have that they don't have. And then I would ask you, is it salty? If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Look at your life. What do you really believe? When you look in the mirror and you consider what you really believe and what you've been doing, your doing is going to show what you believe. John 14:12. The works that the Lord was doing, you'll do also if you truly believe them. Amen. What you believe has consequences. It will motivate you. It will move you. Do you really believe that all have sinned? Do you really believe that the consequence of all having sinned is all are on their way to hell? Consider that. We don't want to. We don't want to think about that person that just walked by going to hell. We don't want to think about our neighbor that way. We would like to push it out of our mind, but what do you truly believe? Do you really believe that Jesus saves? Can he save anyone? Or is it exclusive? Does God intend the salvation for the whole world? Do you really believe that your neighbor could be saved? Do you really believe that salvation is for people in every country? If you are not acting on that, do you really believe it? Let's look at a couple verses about how far God wants his name to go. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Chapter 60. verses 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they that gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. There's another really awesome place where it gives a list of different nations of people that will be in the kingdom of God. And I really cling on to those of Sinim. The Chinese will be there. There's representatives of the whole world are going to be there. And that's what God desires. That's his will. That's where he's going. Do you pray, thy will be done? Because then if you pray, thy will be done, and you want the will of God, then you want people from all nations to be saved. Amen. You have to have the same desire and direction. Now, I brought an illustration. It's silly, but it's kind of fun because it's something I just learned that I should have known already. And maybe I knew it and forgot. I don't know. I'm that old. A box of salt. And I've always known that you could do this. And usually it's covered with a piece of paper, and then you get your finger in there and you catch your nail. Oh, it hurts. But there's a unique feature here. Just a minute. Hopefully I didn't just turn off the microphone. No? I got pliers. Yeah. Got to be prepared. Always prepared. All right. Get that out of there. There is a piece of cardboard in here. Hopefully I can get it out. Watch me not be able to get it out. I'm not going to be able to get out. Okay, that works too. Rip it out of there. All right. Ah. There we go. And now I have to put it back in. Okay, now there's a... Oh, it fell in. But I can explain. So that little tab, that poor tab, had a piece of cardboard on it. And when I removed that cardboard, if I had done it correctly, I could close that back up, and it has little tiny holes in it, and then you can just shake and sprinkle salt, almost like a table salt shaker. You know that? How many of you knew that? No, really? Wow, this is awesome. So you're learning something tonight. So I was thinking about you are the salt of the earth, right? And that's you. That means every individual person. So is the church the box? I don't know. But this church has little holes, and it's shaking salt all over the community, right? Opportunities. Hey, let's have a soul-winning time. Let's all get together and go soul-winning. Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle.
Good.
Sometimes it's, let's pour it out. Let's have a big event. And you pour it out, right? Is it all right if I do that?
Yes, it is.
And so you end up with salt all over the place. That's the goal, is to get the salt everywhere.
Yes.
Right?
Good.
You got to be salty.
Yes.
And your own life, you ought to be where all the time there's salt.
Yes.
You know, you're driving around and you go through the drive-through at McDonald's, and you leave a track. You go to the park, and you see someone walking a dog. You start talking to them about their dog, and, oh, by the way,
good.
You start sharing, because you almost can't help it. If it works for you, if it's good for you, and you're salty, you're going to be sharing the salt, right? Are you salty fish or not? Come on, I want to see salty fish.
Amen.
Raise your hand if you're salty fish. Okay, good, I see some salty fish. Praise the Lord for you. All right, so let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now I'm not going to be able to find 2 Kings. There it is. Good, we're back. All right, so quick review. Number one, God sends loss and uncertainty and trouble to reveal new opportunities for praise and ministry. Number two, consider what you have. You have the salvation of the Lord. Number three, in verse 3, It's time to collect empty vessels. So then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, not full ones. Borrow not a few. Now, what's a vessel in the Bible? It's people. And it's, what was Adam made out of? He was made out of clay, right? And then you have, trying to think of all the other times it talks about clay. Oh, the potter and the clay, right? And let's see. Oh, Gideon, when the 300 had the jars over the top of torches, and they would break, and see, loss, talking about loss, you break the jar, and then the light shines out. Go read this. It's an awesome story. Amen. But what it is, it's the light shining out when the clay is broken. So the clay is representing people and bodies. And so what we have here, in my understanding, is that this woman has some oil. And if that represents salvation and the presence of the Lord, you're going out and getting other vessels that don't have oil.
Good.
Because they're empty and you need to fill them. And so she brings them into her house. And by the way, you know an awesome thing? Her children helped her. How many young people in this room, you're not adults yet? Raise your hand. You're not adult? Oh, good. Good to see some people that are not adults. You're unadult. Okay. All right. You can do this work too.
Amen.
The young people were going out and finding people that weren't believers yet. And they were bringing them in. They brought them to their mother. All right? Now you can bring them to your house. You can bring them to your mom and dad. If they're believers, you can bring them into the church. But be collecting empty vessels. Men, women, young people can be involved in evangelism.
Amen.
And it's awesome that we have a story about a woman whose husband was in work of preaching. He's gone, and she's not quitting. God has work for her to do. She has an opportunity, and she gets her children involved in that as well. What an awesome thing. Maybe you're called to missions already. Maybe you know God wants you to go to the mission field. Start practicing now.
Amen.
Be collecting empty vessels. They gathered in their neighborhood. They gathered in their local community. They went next door and knocked on the door. Are there empty vessels here? They went down the street. Are there empty vessels in this house? That's what we ought to be busy about. Looking in our communities for empty vessels. So this woman brought them in. I think it's awesome. She brought them into her own house and closed the door, and in secret she shared from one vessel to another. And I was thinking, the privacy of her home. You know, you can reach some that no one else can. You can invite people over for dinner. You can invite them over for a kids' play date. You can invite people over to go golfing. Guys, you can go fishing with people. You can invite people and in privacy share the gospel. They don't have to come to church. It's good if they come to church, but you can share it.
Amen.
It kind of reminds me of when my wife and son were driving home, my wife driving, my son sitting there, but he's able to pray. My son, 10 years old, he can pray. And some of you are adults, and you can be a Christian. You can live the Christian life.
Amen.
It's not someone else's job. It's yours. Take the onus upon yourself. You're the one. Hey, what do you really believe? You figure out what you believe, and if it works for you, and then you export it. We're going to go to one more place, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 18, and this is really a cool little thing that I saw, and I was like, wait a minute, what am I reading here? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 18, Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth, and we have sent with him, talking about with Titus, and we have sent with Titus the brother, his praises in the gospel throughout all the churches. Now, I don't know if this is Titus's brother, but I think it is. I don't think he's just using brother as talking about another individual, you know, of the same nation or something like that. I think he's saying Titus's brother. We don't know his name. What do we know about the fellow? Well, it says, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. We know one thing. This guy shared the gospel.
Amen.
And everybody knew it.
Yes.
He shared it with everyone.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we get around other people, we just assume they're Christians. Oh, man, one time, I was on, you remember the Dan Ryan Expressway?
Mm-hmm.
My car caught on fire. I know, what was it, like five lanes wide or something? Just crazy traffic going. And I had gotten close to an exit and was down close to Chinatown. And really just below me, there was a young man that we were trying that would go to church if I could get down there and tell him the bus was coming and that kind of thing. But my car's on fire up here. And to get down there, I have to cross like four or five lanes of just crazy traffic. And I'm thinking, this is like Frogger. And I'm going to die. I'm going to be a DRT, a dead right there, just a streak of, you know, me all over the ground. So I said, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I said, I can't just stand here. This is back before cell phones, at least most cell phones. I think we had the big ones.
Yeah.
But
there we go.
So I went around to the back of the trunk. I opened it up. I had an orange vest. I put the orange vest on. I closed the trunk, and I said, God, here I go. I took one step, and a car almost took me out. Swerved around me, pulled in front of my car, and I thought, oh no. Did God send that or is he going to kill me? And Chicago, right?
Right.
So he leans way over, he throws the door open. I'm like, Lord, did you send this? And so I'm thinking, well, I'm going to die here anyway, so I just will go. So I went and got in the vehicle. At least it'll be fast this time, right? So I got in the vehicle, and the guy was from Pacific Garden Mission, and he tried to get me saved. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
And that's the first time in my life anyone ever tried to witness to me.
Mm.
Isn't that sad?
Mm.
That shouldn't happen.
Mm.
So you ought to check each other out. Get some practice.
Good.
You never know. But everyone in here ought to be sharing the gospel so that everybody knows. I have a guy in my church that among his friends, he's now called the Bible guy. Because that's all he talks about. There's another fellow in our church that he had an acquaintance he was trying to get, you know, to become friends with because he wanted to see if he was saved or not. But the guy decided, I can't be around you anymore because all you talk about is Jesus. No, that's good. That's a good problem. You ought to be one who's known for sharing the gospel. And this man, whoever Titus's brother was, hey, by the way, another awesome thing is he started local. He didn't wait till he was a missionary. In fact, it talks about it here that he is sharing the gospel and then he is sent out by the churches as a missionary. Some of you say, well, I'm called to be a missionary. Well, why aren't you sharing the gospel then? You ought to be doing it now. If you can't do it now, you won't do it later. All right, so it's an awesome thing. He was chosen of the churches to go to Corinth with this grace, the grace that he was sharing the gospel. I'm going to give you one last consideration. So how was he going to get to Corinth? And how would he go beyond that? Let's look in chapter 10, verse 13. So you need to start where you are with the gospel. But you also need to be, it's the Great Commission, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we're supposed to be getting the gospel into the rest of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is our job. It's our duty. Here in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 13 through 17, Paul says, this is how it happens. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. That is, he has the ability right now to reach into Corinth. He's sending a missionary team. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. than to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, he says. So the church is, hey, you got it. Someone gave it to you. You got the gospel.
Amen.
Now it's your duty to say, who can we help get to regions beyond us? And you can get missionaries to go beyond you. But it takes the support of the church. And so you are about the Great Commission. And so you are taking care of the Great Commission in your neighborhood. You're taking care of the Great Commission in your area through your local church. And you are taking care of the Great Commission, getting the gospel out through the entire world when you support missionaries to do that. That's the Bible way. Do you really believe the gospel? Is the gospel good for you?
Amen.
Does it motivate you? Do you want? Are you salty? The Lord used this widow woman. She had one thing, oil in a pot, and she used that to fill other empty pots. There are some empty people in this world that are looking for hope, looking for light, looking for life, and you have it. What are you going to do about that?